Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on this show are not the opinions of TeleSouth Communications, its management, or advertisers.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome everyone back to Crusader Talk. Glad to be back with you in studio today as we kind of count down our way to the athletics calendar year of 2026 to 27, but also just enjoy the relaxation that is summer.
Do you ever relax with athletics at William Carey, though? Honestly.
And as adults that are fully employed that work around the year, right, around the clock, there's really no true summer break, but we like to pretend there is anyway.
Yes, we are currently in that pretending, and especially on a rainy Monday night.
Hey, it's fine. It's fine. It's all fine. We needed a little bit of a dip in temperature anyway. It's been way too hot.
Yep, and when people are listening next week, they'll go, wait a minute, the sun's out and it's on.
That's right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, going to get a twofer episode, but don't let us talking about having the same episode air twice and back-to-back weeks fool you, because we have an action-packed episode for you today. Starting us off, we're going to have new assistant coach for William Carey men's basketball, Chris Moody. Coming up, also we'll have Jaden Sawyer from William Carey softball, and then talk to one of the more prominent William Carey baseball players on the circuit right now, banana ball player Bobby Ledet, one of the members of the William Carey World Series team back just a couple seasons ago. But Coach Moody starts us off, and Coach, first of all, welcome back to William Carey, and glad to have you in the fold once again.
Glad to be back.
Well, Coach, just to introduce ourselves, I'm Caleb Hamill. He's Josh West. We're thrilled to have you back in town. And it's really fun to see people that return back to William Carey, because that seems to be a very common theme for a lot of different coaches that have had a long tenure at this university. For a lot, it's just kind of that magnet that always brings them back. But I want to hear from you just from your genesis of getting to William Carey in the first place. What gravitated your attention toward this university to play for Coach Knight so long ago?
So in high school, I had my head coach was Randy McCory. He played under him, did a graduate assistant year for him. My middle school coach, Kelton Thompson, he played for him as well. Also a person I know, Deron Bell, which he just got inducted to the Hall of Fame as well. So just hearing about the school and how successful they are in all the sports and academically, I didn't have no choice, to be honest with you. I didn't have no choice. Then hearing how Coach Knight was, letting him play your game. So it was kind of a no-brainer, honestly.
Hey, it's Josh over here, and we got a chance to just speak briefly to set this up earlier today. And, yeah, as you were kind of talking about that, I said, well, it just kind of seemed like it kind of laid out for him. But it was an easy decision. You mentioned just now about letting you play your game. That's something that you see more and more player coaches, if you will, in the year 2026. However, it's got to be a really great blend. And you're coming in to coach with a couple of guys that can really relate to players and kind of meet them where they're at and find a way to communicate with them and Coach Burt and with PJ. How much of a draw was that to be able to be just another one of the guys that can relate to these players and get their best?
I mean, it was good. PJ is one of them that does that very, very well. And, just being at William Carey for 6 years before I ended up at Mississippi Gulf Coast, just seeing him do that every single day, seeing Coach Burt, how they blended well with the guys, it just was like, I'm home. I feel home. So it was pretty good.
Now for you, the whole ranks of coming through coaching and coming to want to be a part of that style or that side of basketball, how influential was your playing career at William Carey in making you decide that that's what you wanted to pursue?
Well, a long time ago, I had told myself I wanted to be a basketball coach. But just playing there, I felt home. You know, just really close. The whole culture there is amazing. I felt really at home. Dr. Burnett, he came in, took over, and did a great job so far. Excuse me. I really feel at home, and it was a no brainer once again. It was so easy.
And for you to come in and to be a part of a group that is inheriting a really good core of scorers, but needing to be a part of the, I mean, jump right in with 2 feet into the deep end in recruiting. And not to get in any specifics, but as a whole, what I'm gathering from Coach Burt, and I haven't really had a chance to get into the conversations with PJ, but then again, in broad strokes, recruiting has gone well. And in the words of Coach Burt, it's gone good, and we're going to be just fine. Talk about that recruiting process and your role in it, and what it's been over the last few weeks and moving forward.
Everybody's in it, me, Coach PJ, and Coach Burt. So it's been pretty great, honestly. I think we'll be ready to go by November. But other than that, my job is to, you know, try to get them there. So that's all I can say.
Now, something about William Carey basketball, it's a little different from when you were playing, and this is no slight to you and the guys that you got to play around, but there's a boost of success that has really come through with the program. And I know you were a talented scorer when you were able to play under Coach Knight, but from the outside looking in, you know, what has changed for William Carey to get their success back to where people expect William Carey basketball to be?
Just trying to fit the right guys together. I think they did a great job this past year in doing that. Just trying to build and find the right guys, and having guys like McKean Roberts and Jamar Jenkins.
Yeah, that'll help.
that helps a whole lot, you know. And Rendarius Hughes, those guys. I know them guys personally. I did a GA year with them guys, two. But I did a GA year with them, and they're great guys, man. And that's what you want to build your team around, guys like that, or find guys that can fit in and handle business together.
And that's kind of what I wanted to go. You're trying to find the right fit, and you're getting some very thoughtful questions from these recruits. And so the ones that fit, what's the question that they ask and the answer you provide for the ones that you know this is going to work? Carries where they need to be. What does that kind of sound like, and how does that process look when you know it's coming together?
To be honest, they ask about coaching. How do they get coached? And you know, I tell them, you know, we're going to hold you accountable. You know, we're going to coach you hard. It's nothing against you, them, but you know, just tell them that we're going to coach them hard, and that's what they want to hear, you know, and that's how it normally goes for the most part.
But there's, you mentioned coaching them hard, but then let's rewind the tape just a moment. We were also talking about how relatable. Again, it's the way to be able to communicate the right thing. I think PJ does such a great job of being able to say the right thing at the right time, or wait a few minutes to then go say the right thing at a better time. Have you ever been around anybody any better than PJ in that regard?
Well, yeah.
I was about to say, you're setting him up in a bad spot if he's going to try to put somebody above PJ there.
Well,
Josh.
PJ is a one of a kind guy.
I think he's very good at communication. That's where I was going.
Yes, and so where I was this past year, Coach Owen Miller, Mississippi Gulf Coast head coach, and Keith Windham, the assistant, they do a great job as well as talking to the players and kind of trying to relate. You know, even though they are older, they do try to relate to the players, and they do a great job at that.
I'm talking to Chris Moody, former William Carey player and also new assistant coach under PJ McCray. Just got about 30 seconds left, Chris. And as you look ahead to the start of your tenure on the coaching staff for William & Carey, what's going to be the biggest ticket item that you want to have accomplished in year one?
Just getting better every day. Obviously, it's a championship, but just getting better every day and seeing guys flourish off the court.
That's very awesome to hear. Well, Coach Moody, we'll give you the formal title there. We used to know you as Willie, but we'll adopt your more formal name now. By the way, was that just a professionalism decision to just kind of go more with Chris than Willie?
Yeah, I've been called Chris my whole life, so that's exactly what it is.
I got you. Well, Coach, thanks so much for joining us on a busy summer evening, and we look forward to visiting with you down the road.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That is Chris Moody, assistant basketball coach at William & Carey. Going to be under direction of first-year head coach P.J. McCray as the 2026 and 27 year begins. Not too long from now. We're going to blink and it's going to be here.
Yes, it is.
And we look forward to seeing the successes that William & Carey can have both in SSAC play but also across the NAIA landscape. Hopefully a good postseason run on the horizon for William & Carey under their leadership. All right, coming up, Jaden Sawyer, softball pitcher of the year from William & Carey University, coming up next on this podcast/radio show. Stay with us.
Talking everything William & Carey University athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back here on Crusader Talk. Good conversation with Chris Moody, new assistant basketball coach at William & Carey University. And next up, you know, I mentioned we have an interview-packed show. We're going to have Jaden Sawyer here in just a minute. But I'm going to have to first give you just a little backstory on the accolades that she was able to achieve this year.
Because were a couple.
Tell me if you think this is insane or if this is just passable. Let's see. Number of strikeouts on the year. Oh, a measly 251. Just the number one in the NAIA. Oh, and an ERA of 0.85. Second best in the NAIA for qualifying pitchers. I mean, just standard average year for a talent like Jaden Sawyer. But congratulations to her for, I mean, not only those two stats, but also counting for, I believe it was 24 of William Carey's 41 wins this year from the circle. But the biggest accolade outside of her NAIA All-America status, first teamer, she was also named the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association NAIA Pitcher of the Year. It's a bit of a mouthful, but just consider it the NAIA Pitcher of the Year. And we get to house her right here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And she joins us now on the phone line. Jaden, congratulations, first of all, on these many achievements in your year at William & Carey. But I got to hear about it. Just what got into you? How were you so successful this year in pitching in the circle?
Thank you so much, first of all. Secondly, you know, I came from a pretty competitive JUCO my first 2 years, and I think that kind of, you know, set me up for some tough competition. Went to the national tournament both years I was at Jones. So that kind of, you know, set me up for some type of success. But I mean, we've got a great pitching coach. She coaches me very well. She understands my pitches. She understands the type of bullpens I need. And I think that, you know, that kind of really helps, you know, all of our pitching staff. And luckily I got the chance to, you know, kind of work with her throughout the fall and everything. And she understands my body and, you know, I've had some injuries and things to come back from. And she understands all of that, which I'm super, super grateful for. But I mean, with the team I have behind me and the coaching staff I have, that kind of support sets you up for really good success.
Well, you kind of alluded to this. I wanted to ask about it because to have as good of a year as you had coming off of some injuries or dealing with that, you know, throughout preparations for this season, that has to be a difficult thing as you prepare for a year. But it seems like, you know, with the coaching and with all the different work that you did in training, getting ready, it seems like y'all really hit your stride right and figured out the right things to tweak and get ready.
We did, for sure. You know, I've had I had my original ACL surgery back in 2021, and then I had a surgery in the summer of 2024 to kind of remove some of that. But it still gives me some problems. That's why you see me wearing that brace as often as I do. And I've had some struggle with my shoulder, labrum, and rotator cuff and all that. But, you know, I PT'd as much as I could. I did my PT in the summer and in the fall. And then our strength coach is really, really good at accommodating to me and my injuries and helping me strengthen that up in the preseason and during season, of course. And, yeah, having a coaching staff is very understanding of I can't throw overhand every day and I can't throw underhand every day, and having them kind of understand those things and work, you know, kind of work with me on it really, really sets me up to be on a good pace for the season.
Jaden, this is Josh. I will never forget, as long as I live, and I don't remember the game, the opponent, doesn't matter, don't know what the score was, but we were in a commercial break, and I looked in the booth, and I said, this game's over. As long as that lady's standing up, this game is over. And I looked up, and you were on the ground. You took a wrong step, and you said, oh, it was your fault. I never said that again, Jaden, by the way. I never jinxed you like that again. But that was the craziest thing, and you heard about that from the infield on that wonky step.
Yeah, no, I remember you coming into the bullpen and telling me that a couple days later, and I just thought that was so funny. I most definitely just took a wrong step and kind of took a tumble. Very, very glad you didn't say that again, because I did not need to be embarrassed by an entire stadium again. But no, very glad that was, you know, just a little tumble.
And that was just one memory in a year full of memories. There seemed like there were so many big moments, from walk-offs to home runs to records and championships. Now that you've had a little chance to reflect on this season, what was the big takeaways from what was such a triumphant year?
Man, that team was definitely something else. I'm so incredibly grateful for all of the memories that we have made. Walking off two games was insane. Walking off Mobile was definitely one of the biggest ones. I know there's like an outstanding rivalry. Most of the seniors have felt it. There's been a few of them that have been there all 4 years, so they knew more about the rivalry than we did, but we could feel their energy, and that kind of shifted all of our energy as well. But no, that's a really big walk-off moment. Those are always, you know, super fun. Just coming back from like hard losses, LSUA having to go 10 innings, that type of energy was just insane. I had thrown that first game, and I had to come back in for that second game, and just like, I mean, we're all tired. It's 10 p.m. This is our 17th inning of the day, and it's just like everyone is still so pumped up, and that's the second time we had gone, you know, into extras with LSUA. So just those big moments like that, just it makes it all worth it. Like, yeah, we have to be up at 7 a.m. the next day, but, I mean, I would be out till 3 a.m. with those people playing that game. We had a bunch of good memories, hotel memories, and, you know, winning our tournament, finding out we won our conference. We were on the bus and we had just split a game, but knowing that Blue Mountain had beat Mobile solidified us being number one in our conference, and I'll never forget us standing and cheering on the bus, and just those type of memories just kind of make it all worth it. They give you the butterflies, the chills. You never stop smiling for an hour. I mean, those types of things just really, really make it all worth it.
We're talking with Jaden Sawyer, NAIA Pitcher of the Year, according to the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association. And Jaden, as I hear you reflecting on all these fun memories, you sound almost like a person that just finished up their senior year. But you know, we're over here excited as I'll get out, because we get you for one more. The memories aren't done being made here. I know this team that just wrapped up the season had a lot of special characters to it. It was special for Kinley getting to play for her mom and Coach Hogue's first year back at the program. A lot of different players graduating, moving on to bigger and better things. But there are going to be some pieces back this coming year, and also some newcomers that will come into the fold as well. What gets you excited about the year in front of you?
Yeah, no, I do sound like someone who's, you know, leaving for good, but I think my having 2 years at one place and 2 years at another, I cherish each of my years so much, because I know I only have 2 years. And I mean, different team, different energy. There's always going to be something slightly different, but I'm so excited for this upcoming year. I know we've got three kids coming in that I played at Jones with, and I'm super excited about them. They're going to be really key players. They kind of fill some of the roles that have just graduated. So I know that we're going to be, you know, pretty set in stone there. I'm feeling pretty good. We're going to have a really good staff. We've got I know two pitchers coming in, both from pitchers in the MAC, which is just the junior college of Mississippi, and that it's a really competitive conference. So I'm super excited about them coming in. And, I mean, our team is already pretty solid. We lost a bunch of key roles, but I think Coach Hogue's doing a great job of filling those roles in and getting us prepared for that next season.
Jane, I love listening to you do these interviews because you're kind of like my energy of broadcasting. I almost have to slow down a little bit. That's your speed, though. You love to work quick inside the circle. You're a high-energy person, so you dictate the tempo when you're out there inside this circle. Talk mindset that led to the success this year, because we've talked about the physical bounce back. We've talked about the training and the work that went in and the chemistry of the team and just the success of the team. But then turning to the mental side and the sports psychology side of it, you were locked in from the get-go and you were able to go out and dictate what was going on inside the circle. Talk about that.
Yeah, no, I've always kind of worked at a quick pace. You know, I talk fast, I move fast, I think fast. And I've had to be told a lot of times, ever since I really started pitching, to slow down, like, give your catcher time, give your infield time. And I'm always making sure my infield's ready, but the second me and my catcher are ready, we're a go. My field knows how I work and how quick I work. All of our pitchers work at a different pace, and they adjust very well to each pitcher. But I'm definitely one that moves pretty fast. My mind works pretty fast, so I'm relatively good at, you know, kind of letting things go, let it get past me, attacking the next batter. Just knowing that I've got another chance to be successful is the mindset that I have. You want to try to limit good back-to-back things for the other team, and you want to have back-to-back good things. So if I give up a hit, guess what? I'm going to try to not give up another one right behind it. And I think that mindset has set me up for some success, because I know that I am allowed to fail. But if I can limit their back-to-back good things happening, then I can set myself up to be in a really good place. And, you know, having that team behind me, knowing that they have full trust in me, eases my mind completely.
Well, Jaden, it is so impressive to see your preparations, your achievements at William Carey University. Going to be tough to top your junior year, but we look forward to seeing you try and get out there in the circle and dazzle us once more. We look forward to seeing the successes ahead of William Carey softball. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Of course. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Jaden.
That is Jaden Sawyer, NAIA Pitcher of the Year, according to the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association, and our opinions as well. But coming up next, we're going to continue to talk about ball and stick sports people, because we've got coming up former William Carey shortstop and World Series player Bobby Ledet, currently playing in banana ball for the Indianapolis Clowns. He's coming up next, so stay tuned. You're listening to Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Well, like Mom always said, Crusader Talk is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And on this summer edition of the podcast, we talked to all kinds of people, assistant coaches, pitchers of the year. Now we get to talk a little banana ball. Man, I got to tell you a small story about Bobby Ledet. So we're in the dugout, myself, Ben Smith, and others. We're talking pregame before a conference game. And Ben just turns to me and goes, I was watching ESPN, or just had it on in the background. They're having a banana ball game going on and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, I just hear the name Bobby Ledet. I was like, surely I couldn't hear that right. And he looks over, and sure enough, there it is, spelled just like it was when it was on the roster at William Carey in 2023. Former Crusader shortstop Bobby Ledet is now part of the Banana Ball League, playing for the Indianapolis Clowns, one of the newer programs that have come into being under the Banana Ball header. And he is joining us tonight on Crusader Talk. Bobby, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule. I know y'all have a big world tour you're a part of right now. What's the next location on the docket for you?
Our next location is Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
This upcoming weekend.
Wrapped up in Morgantown, and those people were a little bit distracted because the folks from West Virginia are out in the College World Series right now. They can't get enough baseball and banana ball right now. But, Bobby, I want to go back to the history that you have of coming through William Carey, I was joking with Ben Milam, who you probably got a chance to know out in the trip to Lewiston. He was our broadcaster for play-by-play at the time. But we were saying you might have the shortest yet most effective tenure at William Carey. And for those that don't know about your story, you kind of came in halfway through that World Series year in 2023 as you're kind of a rare breed now because William Carey is no longer on the trimester schedule, but became eligible, joined the team, and started playing just about immediately and really helped the Crusader cause as they mounted that postseason run all the way to Lewiston, Idaho. And I just want to hear, what was that journey like for you to, though it was a short and final year for you here in Hattiesburg, but just to get here in the first place and then to finish out your year strong, finishing at the final destination of the World Series?
Yeah, so, yeah, it was my fifth year when I got to Carey. And honestly, I was kind of going through a lot at that time, trying to figure out how I was going to keep playing. And, yeah, that was pretty much my main focus. And Carey had called me, and they wanted me to play for them and give me an opportunity. And it was only right that I go and, you know, check it out and see what I can do. And I didn't know what to expect going into it. I was a little anxious, a little nervous, didn't know what to expect. But it went a lot better than I was expecting it. I met a lot of cool people, great people. It was a lot of love out there. It was almost like a fresh start for me. And I got to learn new things about myself. And yeah, it was a great time.
Bobby, Josh West over here, and you know I'm over here, and I'm looking at your baseball card on eBay, and I'm looking around on the Banana Ball website, and I'm looking at the roster page, and you know every player dreams of going to the show, and now you're in the show that is the next big show. Banana Ball is like taking off like wildfire. Is it surreal to be in the hot thing right now in the U.S., which is Banana Ball? Have you kind of had to pinch yourself?
Kind of. You know, when I first got here, I was like, what did I get myself into? Right. It's a lot of fun because, I mean, the reason I say that is because, like, I'm kind of a mellow person. But I can also be kind of outgoing, but for the most part, I'm kind of just chill and everything. But, yeah, I was like, how am I going to fit in here? But I think that was a lot of overthinking going on. I mean, I still, you know, got to give more. I feel like I can give more energy other than being on the field and everything, because there's other parts of Banana Ball that comes with being a Banana Ball player. So, you know, I want to do good in everything that I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? So, but wait, what was the question again about Banana Ball?
it was just, you know, more about, yeah, how does it feel to be playing?
Just being
it?
A part of it, you know?
Yeah, it's great. We get to meet so many people, so many fans that support us. And it's a lot of love, you know. We don't really have to stress too much about the result too much. Of course, we want to play good, but it's not the same as baseball where, you know, your job is on the line. Like you might be off the team the next day, like in professional ball. But here, you know, I mean, we still strive to play the best baseball / banana ball that we can. We try to get hits, get home runs, make the plays, the trick plays. But yeah, it's mostly about having fun, and results come later, and we get to interact with a lot of fans and meet a lot of new people.
So at last count, and I wanted to kind of get into this because this is one of the unique things about banana ball that just make it so fun, all the subtle nuances away from the game of traditional baseball. You alluded to it, trick play outs. So you have the 10th most trick play put outs of all banana ball players with 50 so far this year. At least that's the last tally that we have. Big of an adjustment was that for you to all of a sudden go from trying to field things as cleanly as possible to all of a sudden, okay, now I have to add a little bit of flair if I've got the time to do it?
Right, right. So going into the tryout, or not going into the tryout, but when I got the call to come and do the tryout, it was pretty much an invite, and so it gave me a little time to practice on trick plays, how I was gonna, you know, go about the tryout and everything. But so that was a lot of fun, honestly. And being a middle infielder, that comes kind of with a little bit of flair. You kind of, most middle infielders have some type of swag, some type of flair to them. So it was kind of natural, but now I kind of just do like the most simple, like simple trick plays are like routine ground balls now. Like a simple between the legs is just a simple shuffle and throw now, you know. But adjustment wise, trick plays, sometimes I got to slow it down a little more because you got to do a different and not so usual transfer, and just got to slow the game down a little more sometimes. But that's all.
I feel like I'm working backwards in this interview because we haven't even talked about how did you even come into banana ball itself. Who made the call? Who made the connection? And how quickly did you put your yes on the table?
Yeah, so most guys in college and professional ball, or I think some guys in college, I know professional ball for sure, the guys that perform well, from what I understand, they get, there's a recruiter by the name of Barry Aldridge, and, you know, his job is to recruit as many of the best athletes or baseball players that he can find, so to make banana ball as fun as it can be. And when I first heard about banana ball, I didn't know what to think about it. So I wasn't too interested in it, which was like, so pretty much Barry, he reached out, I think 2021, 2022 and 2023, but I was still focused on regular baseball and, you know, trying to make it, on an affiliate team at least, you know? So I wasn't too interested in trying to go dance and yeah, do all that, or you know, just from the outside looking in, it just looked like you know, like I wasn't ready for that at the time. And so after my second year playing independent ball with the High Wheelers in California, Barry reached out again, and I decided to have a talk with him on the phone, and he was telling me about the new things that were coming into banana ball and just giving me the ins and outs of how banana ball works and stuff like that. And so just having that conversation made me a little more comfortable on like what I was going to be walking into. So I was like, you know what, this might not be so bad. And the tryout was in Dallas, and I have family out there, so I got to go visit some family out there before the tryout. I got to stay with them, and I had a pretty good tryout. I hit a home run during the tryout. I learned how to do, or I taught myself how to do a round off backflip, as a talent to show during the tryout, because you know you got to come with a couple of talents and stuff like that. So, I bust out a backflip on the home run. That helped me get the job.
How great is that, Caleb, that the round off backflip lands your job?
Hey, if I could do it, I would probably not be sitting in this chair right now. You probably couldn't stop me if I could actually do one. But just looking at stats, man, it looks like you're having a great year so far. You're the best or most hits of any shortstop in the league right now. Eighth most hits overall, .320 average so far. And already I mentioned the trick play rate is pretty good, especially with how many opportunities you get as a shortstop. But yeah, for all of us that are wanting to keep tabs on you, what are the best ways that we can do so?
Follow my Instagram a little bit. We try to post as many cool clips, you know. I'm trying to work on my TikTok and stuff like that. And
you and everybody else. Guess,
right. Our games are, you can watch them on HBO Max or even YouTube. And I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, just give a red card to the umpire. I'm sure that can get you some likes and follows on TikTok like your teammate did the other night on the play.
Oh, with the broken bat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all over that one, man.
He's got some fun characters.
Bobby Ladei, former William Carey shortstop. I didn't even get to talk about the World Series. We may have to bring you on another time just to talk about your time over in Lewiston, Idaho. We'll maybe talk waffles and more or steak bites next time we get to have you on. But, Bobby, thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to visiting with you maybe some other time down the road.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Bobby Ladei. Stay tuned. One final segment coming up with you here on Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I feel like I could have gone two more segments with Bobby.
Oh, that's the long form. This
is a guy who had a total of 3 months of playing for William Carey and made a huge impact. I mean, he was fairly good out of the gate. When conference play kicked into gear, his batting average slumped, just trying to adjust to NAIA. Coach Holford and I always talk about it. It can be so backwards in the way you're pitched because fastballs aren't the high zip velocity that you get at the D1 level. And so a lot of times you get to 2-0 counts, you still see a slider. Or they try to get a slider across in normal fastball counts. And I feel like that was part of the adjustment for a guy like Bobby Ladei, who came from the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana, but finished up his final year batting .390 and it really helped William Carey, one, just get to the World Series, but also performed well in Lewiston, Idaho. Went 2-for-5 against Bellevue, 2-for-5 against Southeastern, scored a couple runs in that game as well. I believe he had a double in that game, which put Carey in the driver's seat before they eventually fell off and lost to Westmont and Lewis Clark State to get put out. But still, a grand total of 8-for-19. Batting .500 in the World Series is pretty impressive. Or around about that mark right there. So, yeah, awesome to have him still playing baseball at the banana ball level. And that's an entertaining product. Now, I don't know how much you out there, if you're listening, or Josh, how much you've been in tune with it, but it's fun. It's fast-paced. You know, they have a whole slew of rules that they introduce to you every time you go to a game. But it's fast-paced because as a hitter, you're not allowed to get out of the box. There are no walks when you get pitched ball four. It's a ball four sprint. And so what happens is as soon as you get ball four, you sprint towards first base. Then you may make the turn and go to second base because play cannot continue to the next at bat until every fielder – minus the pitcher and catcher, have touched the ball. So as soon as a sprint occurs, the catcher throws down to shortstop like somebody's stealing second. It's so weird to watch it for the first
time.
And
all the outfielders are coming in.
Yeah, they're coming in, so that shortens the distance that they have to throw. You can have sprint home runs, if you will. You can have four base sprints if you're a really good runner and the defense just isn't ready to field it. And so that's entertaining. Foul balls caught by a fan are an out automatically. And the other thing is there's no score differential that is too vast. So the way it works is you have inning by inning, 1 point is assigned to each team. So at the end of the first inning, one team has one run, the other has two runs. The team with two runs gets a point. And you go through all the innings. It's also time, so the game is guaranteed to only last roughly a certain amount of time. But you get to the end, and in the final inning, every run counts as a point. So you could be down 8-0. Still, if you score 8 runs in that final inning, you've got 8 points then. Do you have a chance to come back from any game? All kinds of different fun rules and just ways that they have kept it entertaining. And I haven't gotten the chance to go see one in person, but the people that I've talked to have had a lot of fun. They stay engaged with the fans even between innings with everything going on. A lot of songs, a lot of dances, activities, merchandise, and it's fun, affordable family entertainment. So happy that Bobby's getting a chance to do that. And you know, kids
just
who play baseball.
Win the lottery.
That's right. Kids always dreamed of getting to play on ESPN, and you know, Bobby has gotten to play on ESPN and paid to do so.
Yeah, I just love the candor about, you know, having to kind of get his mind wrapped around the fun of the league, because he is a baseball player. And I love what it says the roster is made up of: players, pitchers, utility players, and entertainers. Maybe you can make the stretch that he's a utility player. Bobby's just a player, and his numbers bear that out. He's one of those guys on that roster. That's what you said. He's the best shortstop hitter in the league, 320 batting average, 50 trick plays. He perfects whatever he's doing. That's just the way his mind works. And so he can have some fun, but he's out there to make plays.
Yeah. Now, to cycle back to something we were talking about earlier, I can't let this go by. I know we've got about a minute and a half left. But you about cost William Carey their best pitcher in softball this year. I needed you to elaborate on that story just a bit.
That was a true story. I mean, down to just matter of fact, I looked down the scorer's table. My son's working the game. We're in the booth. I said, this game's over. I mean, it may have been 2-1, 3-2, whatever. I said, you know, if she's in the game, this game's over. I look up. I have a cap on, so I can't see on the field. I didn't see her go down. I look up. She's down. And Julia Shaw is losing it laughing. I'm talking about, like, glove over face, like, shoulders, like just guffawing at the ridiculousness of this. She took a wrong step and she went down in a heap. And I was like, oh gosh, I almost killed Jaden. That is a true story.
I was supposed to say, that's the broadcaster jinx of all broadcaster jinx.
And I apologized to her a couple days later in the bullpen. She said, oh, so it's your fault. I said, guilty. So I never did that again.
We'll put that in the Hall of Fame. He hasn't missed an extra point all year. Oh, he's... He's 98% in free throws this season. Oh, a rare miss. Or he's got a no-hitter going right now. Now it's, man, as long as she's standing, we're going to win this game. And she's on the ground.
Literally, I couldn't look up before she was on the ground. That I'll never forget it.
So much thanks to Chris Moody, Jaden Sawyer, and Bobby Ledet for joining us on this action-packed edition of Crusader Talk. Thanks to Dalton Stanford as well for Man of the Board. And for my co-host Josh West, this is Caleb Hamill saying, until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.